carry me when some carry their God. You feed me, Lord, when some feed their God. You fought for me when some fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me fail.
Help us,
mountain.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Yahweh, come do for us what only you can do. We thank you for the privilege of association. We thank you for the privilege of God, you wanting us to be your partners. A God that you will elect to use our lives as weak as we might be, only gives testament to your given spirit. We thank you that you've allowed us to be called your sons, your daughters, your children, children of the Most High, that you loved us so dearly that you were willing to give everything and anything to make it possible for us to be part of your family. Today we respond with thanksgiving. And we say, Father, you started a work in our lives, a glorious work. We know you never quit, you never stop. So, Lord, do speedily, efficiently, eternally, great and greater things in us and through us, that for all eternity we will continually shout, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, because we see another aspect of what you've done for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to have you all here this evening. It's a joy to share time with you this morning as we explored the Word of God together. And tonight, I am trusting that God will continue to do in us and with us great and greater things. Amen? So welcome, welcome. We started out this morning sharing from the book of Hosea, chapter 10. I'm not trying to revisit everything we talked about this morning, but I want to use that as a springboard as we continue on to the second part of what we talked about this morning. I'll encourage you strongly, as best as I can, to please, if you were not here this morning, or even if you were here this morning, to go back and listen to the message from this morning. It is of utmost importance. I will, in fact, advise you to go all the way back 3-4 weeks and listen again. Because the Lord is laying on into our spirits certain things that are of utmost importance. And when you pull everything that God is trying to quicken in our spirits, you will see that He's trying to make us a formidable force. You will see that God is doing a work in our spirit that will cause us not to be the ones being terrorized by the enemy, but that will become the ones that terrorize the enemy because we know who we are. Amen? Hallelujah. To even consider the fact that God's word says to us that we need not worry because He has automated blessings for us. And every single day is speaking. Even the day when you wake up in the morning, the day is pronouncing the blessings of God on your life. The day. And in the night of your life, He's bringing into your spirit knowledge the keys that you need to discomfort the enemy. It's amazing what God has done for us. We should not be weak. Let me say that again. We should not be weak. The Israelites, because they did not know who they were, saw themselves as grasshoppers. God took the time, to break them free from Egypt, brought them to the promised land, showed them the promised land, and they went in there, they came out, they said, it's exactly the way God said, but we encountered some giants in there, and we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and that's how they saw us. The enemy sees you the way you see yourself. Let me say that again. The enemy only sees you as you see yourself. Oh, I don't know if you got it yet. I'll say it the third time. The enemy only sees you as you see yourself. If you see yourself as defeated, you are defeated in the sight of the enemy. If you see yourself as one who is more than a conqueror, the enemy sees you as that. He only sees what you show him. Glory to God. So don't show him, even if you are scared witless, don't show him fear. Even if you don't know what is going to happen and how it's going to happen, never. Give him a hint that you are afraid, scared, weak, whatever. No. Let him always be scared because you show him the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. You show him the face of Jesus, the one who is your Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer. Amen? Hallelujah. So in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, the Word of God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves. Invest into you in righteousness. I want you to notice the statement, in righteousness. Righteousness means that you have a right stance, you're properly positioned in God, and that you have access. So God says, I want you to locate yourself in righteousness, which is a gift that I've given to you, and in righteousness, which means that you're not operating from the atmosphere and of doubt, but in the boldness of the Word of God. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, and when you do so, you're going to reap in mercy. So you are not saying what your circumstance is saying. You're not saying what people are saying about you. You're not saying what the devil is saying. You're saying what God says. You make sure that you say, it is written. This is what God says about me. This is how God sees me. And that's how I see myself. I see myself holy. I see myself righteous. I see myself in peace. Let me put it this way to you. Jesus, our Lord, says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. He's tired. He goes to sleep. He expects to be on the other side. The enemy comes and generates a storm, and the disciples are scared witless. They're trying to bail water out of the boat, and the place is getting filled with water. But the Bible says Jesus was in the hinder part at the bottom. Now, if he's at the bottom and the boat is getting filled with water, then there's water all over where Jesus is. But what is he doing? He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? He doesn't expect to die. He said, let's go on to the other side. And they come and they wake him up and say, don't you care? And he just says, peace be still. He rebuked the wind and he said, peace be still. Everything calms down. What was the difference between him and them? He believed that what he said is what he's going to get. He did not see himself dying that day. Hello? He did not see himself dying that day. But every day, most people go about when they're in trouble. They lay hands on themselves, especially Africans. I don't die. Oh, I don't die. You know, I'm dead. I'm dead. I take that off my head. What are you talking about? God says, in righteousness, sow in righteousness. Say what God's word says and reap mercy. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. That's not what God is asking you to say. Say what he says. I am free. Nothing can stop me from being everything God says I am. You say what God says. You restate it until your mind, your body, everything about you reconnects with what God's word says. Amen? That is not a lie. You're speaking the truth of God. He says, break those fallow grounds, those grounds that have not been broken, not been sown into. He says, break it up. Break up those fallow grounds. Why? It is time for you to seek the Lord. Don't say, well, I can't seek the Lord yet. I can't talk to God yet because I need to be more prayerful. I need to fast more. I need to know more of the word of God. Then I will seek the Lord. I need to this. I need to. No, no, no. God says, seek. It's time. Seek the Lord. Stop procrastinating. You don't need to go clean up first before coming to God. In fact, you cannot clean yourself up good enough. So just come. The prodigal son did not just come back, went to borrow some more money to buy, you know, some Gucci, you know, suits and nice shoes and nice watch and then come pretentiously to his father like he was not messed up. He came up with his tattered clothes and unshaven face, and the father saw him where he was, afar off. The father ran to him and he said, bring the coat and put it on him before the guy even had a bath. Put a ring on him. Put new shoes on him. underneath all of that glorious dressing was a whole lot of mess. And would you know it? He didn't even come back because he was really repentant. So what do you mean? He said to himself when he came to his right mind, the servants of my father, they're doing better than I'm doing. I'm just going to go back and tell him, I just want to be a servant. So the guy really didn't really repent yet. He just wanted the stuff. And the father knew it. All the reason why this boy of mine came back is because he wants this stuff. But no, the father's thoughts were going to override his wicked thinking. Amen? Put all of that on him because he did not want him to be ashamed. I don't want shame on. I don't want people calling you what you are. I want them to call you what I say you are. Therefore, I'm going to kill the fatted calf and celebrate you. Do you know that God celebrates you today? But he only celebrates you if you accept what he says about you. Sow into yourself in righteousness. I'm going home to my father. I know I have messed up royally over and over again. I said I wouldn't do it, but I did it. I said I wouldn't do it again, but I did it. But I'm saying again, I'm not doing that. You know why you're still doing it? Because you're saying, I'm not going to do that. No, God wants you to say, I am doing this. I am this. I am free of this addiction, and I give God praise. And even if you are sniffing while you are saying it, just stay in the pathway of what God's word says, and you will see as you're looking unto Jesus that you are being changed. Yeah. Amen? You've been changed. Let me put it this way. If I want to go to where that exit sign is, and I keep on looking this way, where I look is going to pull me. So instead of going straight, because that's not where I'm looking over here as I'm going. Oh, look at me, I'm already going off on the side already. My eyes are determining my direction. So the word of God says, looking unto Jesus. Looking. That means you are consistently looking in that direction. Then he becomes the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. You cannot live in victory, restate your problem. You go keep on saying, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. Guess what? You will always be an alcoholic. Even if you've stopped. You are always restating the fact that that is going to be your future at some point. I am not. I used to be. But I am free. You know, the saving grace for those people sometimes is the very fact that they say, I've been sober for so many years. It is, I've been sober for so many, that's the saving grace there. It's not, reminding yourself about your sinful self. This is what God has done for me. This is what has happened in my life. And God will help you become everything that you say. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, becomes that because you are doing something that he does. The word of God says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. It was what he saw at the end that made him go through whatever he needed to go through, because he had his eyes focused on celebration. He had his eyes focused on celebrating. You need to focus your attention on that. Not on all the pain in between. Focus at the end. At the end of this journey, this is what I'm getting. And that's what he did. And because he did that, he despised the shame. All the name calling. If you are who you say you are, save yourself. He despised all of that. He despised all the spitting on him, the mocking. He despised all of that. And because he despised and set away out of his mind all of that, but set his face on the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? The joy that the Lord had was seeing you and me free. That was his joy. And every time somebody gets free, all heaven celebrates. There's a party going on. Glory be to God. Heaven is a partying place. You like parties? Okay, then you need to go to heaven. If you think all those rock and roll stars and whatever, all of them are going to be singing the blues and country music. All the good is all going away. No, you want to really celebrate. Celebrate in the place where all of God's goodness is bestowed upon you. Hallelujah. But let me go further. I was not going to stick around this Hosea 10, because if I stay with Hosea 10 and verse 12 for the next 2 months, I will not be done. So let me move on. But you've gotten the first initial gist. It is, sow to yourself, invest in you. What are you investing in you? The Word of God. The Word of God. That's what you're investing in you. Let me do this. I wanted to go to Genesis. Might do that. Let's go to Psalm 33. Let's go to Psalm 33. The Lord says in Psalm 33, it says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise is the right thing for the upright. Praise is what makes you beautiful. It takes all the ugliness off of you. Praise. He says that's the right thing for you to do. You righteous. He says rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians it says rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, present your case before God. He says, the Lord is at hand. He's with you. Amen? He says, praise is comely for the righteous. He says, praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and with an instrument of 10 string. Sing unto him a new song. I remember, it's got to be about 3 or so years back, I was coming to minister the word of the Lord, and he says unto me, sing a new song. I said, what does that mean? I said, what does that mean, sing a new song? Does that mean we should not sing the old songs? He said, no. Sing a new song. I'm trying to minister the word of God. I'm hanging. I'm saying, tell me something. People are here for service. I got to have a word for them more than sing a new song. What is it that you're trying to say? And bang, there it was. Sing a new song. Stop singing about your problems. Sing your solution. Ah, that's what he's saying. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. Stop mourning with the old patterns. Things are never good for me. You know, some people go about saying, I have bad luck. How do you spend your time swearing on yourself? There are people who spend their time destroying their marriages, destroying their children, destroying their finances, destroying everything that is good in their lives, because all that comes out of their mouth is negative. Not what God says. You're so present with your problem that you keep on restating your problem as if you talking about your problem is going to make it go away. No, it doesn't. It just makes it get deeply rooted in your life. He says, say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you are saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. And then it says, for the word of the Lord is what? Right. And all his works are done in truth. The words of the Lord is right. He loveth, watch this, he loveth righteousness and judgment. And most times when we think about judgment, the average believer thinks about God bringing a big, you know, sledgehammer. That's God's judgment. No. God's judgment is God extending mercy to you. God's judgment is him recalibrating things in your life so that you don't fall off. God's judgment is God's discernment on how to address your particular situation, as complex as it is. Has anybody ever been frustrated trying to undo a knot? Okay. God knows exactly how to undo the knots. Praise the Lord. He knows. You know, and he is the God who understands you better than you understand yourself. His word says he knows that they are just men, just people. And so he works with us to help us become what we ought to be, more like him. Hallelujah. He loveth righteousness. He loves that right standing that he's calling you and I to. He says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Hey? Yes. Yes, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's his righteousness and his judgment. He's putting everything together for you and I. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say to you today by thinking, what he's saying is I can do whatever it is I want to do and it is going to be okay. No, that's a lie from the depths of hell. That's not what we're talking about at all. It's not living recklessly and thinking, grace. No. Grace is God's ability operating in you to help you not to live a useless, messy life. Amen? But what God is trying to get us to is, hey, God is not trying to kill me. God has goodness. So I'm going to tap into the goodness of God because that's how I'm going to get out of this mess. I'm going to sow into my life in righteousness the truth of God and experience a harvest of mercy. Back to Hosea. Amen? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, watch this now. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By what? The word of the Lord were the heavens made. Now, we know that by the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were made. But God doesn't say anything about the earth here because he wants you to be looking up. He said, I want you to know that by my word were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them were made by the breath of his mouth. Well, we know that the word of God says nothing was made that is made outside of the word of God. We know that in the recreation of the world, God said, let this happen and let that happen. And God pulled land out of the waters and God caused fish to come out of the water, caused birds to come out of the water. We know that everything he did was by words that he spoke. But here in the Psalms, it's saying, by the breath of his mouth were all the hosts of everything made. But what did God do? When he created man, the Bible says he breathed into him. And man became a living soul. So what is the implication and the application of this truth? It is that when God created you and I, what God did was he breathed into us words. Amen? He breathed into you words. Words. Good words. Good words. He spoke it inside of you. So you are filled with words. Hallelujah. You're filled with words. And God wants you to restate those words. Speak them out. Because, as he will say to us in his temptation, man should not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God breathed into him and he became a living soul, or better interpreted, became a speaking spirit. And the way you sow into your life is by speaking the God word and restating the God word into you. Not the words of the fallen man, but the words of the victorious last Adam, who said, "It's done, it's finished, we've taken care of it." Hallelujah. It's done. Let's look at John 17 and see how Jesus applies the principles of the Word of God. In John 17, watch this. He says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to where? To heaven." Wait, what direction are you looking? You need to look up. And he said, "Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. The set time is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Glorify me so I can glorify you. I cannot do anything without it first being done by God to me. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Verse 4 says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do." First statement here. I have what? Finished the work. Did he go to the cross yet? No. He's not gone to the cross yet. So he must be lying by saying, "I have finished the work." No. He's saying, "Has done what he set his face to accomplish." You don't have to be there to say that you are there. You have to say that you are there to be there. Hallelujah. It says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self." Glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. Before this world was. I had a glory, and that glory was the glory that you have. Glorify me with the glory of you. Hallelujah. And then he says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them thou me, and they have kept thy word." Have they kept his word? They're going to deny him. Does he know it? He even tells Peter, you're going to deny me. For that cock crows, you're going to deny me. That is that fact. But faith overrides those facts. And so he says, they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have made known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." I want you to watch this statement. "They surely that I came out from. The Bible tells us about John the Baptist. It says, John the Baptist, a man sent from. from God, not sent by God, but sent from God. And Jesus is saying the same thing, that I am sent from you. In other words, when I came out with the full essence of who you are. Not only was I sent by you, I came out from you to be sent by you. Oh, Lord, help me. You got to know that you are in essence of God. That you created in the image and the likeness of God. That when you show up, God is showing up. Praise the Lord. Not recognizing that will always cause you to be defeated. In fact, before I go there, okay, let me do this. Take me to, we'll come back to this, but take me to John 16 and verse 15, I believe it is. Show me verse 5. Let me see verse 5 first. Okay. I'll find it. John 16. This is a very important point, because this is what God wants to do with every one of us. He wants to so energize you in the realm of the Spirit that you become a solution. And I'll take it from verse 15 as we started out and see. Of 14, he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, talking about the Spirit of God. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, you know what? I think it's 15. Let's look at 15, 16. Let's look at 15, 16. John 15, 16. I think that's where what I'm looking for is. Yeah, that's the passage I'm looking for. I want you to see a statement. I'll go back to John 17. It says, ye have not chosen me. That's the first thing. He says, but I have chosen you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And ordained you, I ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, whatever it is you ask the Father in my name, he says, he may give it you. He may give it you. In other words, I want to bring, the reason he says he may give it you is because you have to qualify to come to that place. In essence, when there's a problem, when you're talking to the Father about it, God says, hey, show your face. And God will present you to the problem. Did you get it? He will present you to the problem as a solution to the problem. He's not just going to answer you and give you the answer. No, he will take you and say, is this what is bugging you? Here you are. Look at it. And the thing takes off. Hallelujah. God wants to take you and I to that place where we become his active representation in the earth. What is an image? An image is a representation of something. God created us to be in his image and in his likeness. So when the enemy sees, he sees you. But when he sees you, he sees God. Did you get that? So God wants to catapult us into the reality of who we are in him. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to John 17, where we stopped, and this is where I'm going to wrap up. John 17, we got up to about verse 9, I believe. 8. So he says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou did send me because I came from you." He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them." I am what? Glorified in them. And now, this is where I really love you to look at this. It says, "And now I am no more in the world." Where was he speaking from? It was right there. And he says, "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world." I'm not here, but they are here. Holy Father, keep through thine own name. Keep through thine own name. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Then verse 12 really gets it really deep. "While I was with them in the world." Excuse me, what are you talking about? Did you go somewhere? Has he gone to the cross yet? No. But he's saying, "While I was," that's past tense. In other words, I finished this job. I'm done with this. I'm in another sphere. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." So how does God keep us? In his name. In his name. So one of the greatest prayers you can pray is to pray, "Lord, Hashem, the name, cover me with your name." Hallelujah. Keep me in your name. "Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." That's the only reason the scripture is going to be fulfilled in the son of perdition. "I brought him close. I even gave him a trusted position as a treasurer, knowing that he is a thief. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to still save him. And when Judas comes into the garden, Jesus does not say, 'Enemy, what did you come here to do?' He says, 'Friend, friend.'" He called Judas his friend. He determined, "This man, I'm not going to call an enemy. This man that I should not trust, I'm going to put trust in him. Because I am not going to be run around by what he thinks, what he says. I'm going to take charge in believing and trusting. And if he blows it and he fails at the end, it's not going to be any fault of mine. If anybody ends up in hell, I tell you today, it's not going to be because God didn't love them. God has done everything humanly and divinely possible to save all. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And how do they come to that repentance? By sowing into them what the Word of God says. You mean God is willing to forgive me, even though I've messed up so much? Yes. Well, I receive it. Saved. And the same thing you and I need to do concerning everything, concerning your finances. God has all that you and I need. He has it. And He's willing to provide it. And He is your source. Amen? Because if you don't understand that God is your source, you're going to hate a lot of people. I tell you. We're going to hate a whole lot of people. Because you think, they should have been able to do this for me, but they didn't do it, wicked, evil, whatever. But when you know God is my source, then you know God can provide for you in all kinds of crazy ways. He can provide for you by causing a crow to bring food for you. He did with Elijah. And if He doesn't provide it, you know, that way, He can even expand what you have and cause what you have to last. God has all kinds of amazing ways. So don't close your eyes praying and one eye is closed and open the other eye looking at the person you think should be the answer. And that's how so many people pray. They figured it out. If you think that's the answer, just go and talk to the person politely and say, I need some help. Can you help me? Stop praying witchcraft prayers. What is witchcraft prayers? Witchcraft prayers is the prayers of manipulation. You don't need that. Amen? Just trust God and let Him be everything you need Him to be in your life. And that's where I'm going to stop tonight. I didn't even get to the Genesis passage. So, Lord willing, I'll get there. Amen? Hallelujah. But I trust that whatever it is God has given to us today is sufficient to help us. So please, get to the Word of God. Say what God's Word says. Even if you're not there, just keep on saying it. And you will become a manifestation of who God says you are. He is busy dividing the Red Sea while it's all dark. God does His best work in the dark. It's always been that way. And if you feel, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, you're in the best place possible. Just remind yourself, He's still God. No matter what, He's still God. He's my helper. He's my father. He's my fighter. He's my keeper. He's my deliverer. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's a God who meets all of my needs according to His riches in glory. And His blessing is seen. That's what Jehovah Jireh means, ultimately. The blessing of the Lord is seen. It shall be seen on me. Amen? When people see me, they see blessing. Hallelujah. Not some raggedy person that is going nowhere. No, they see glory. Praise God. Do you know, and I'll wrap up here. Do you know that it's not your good looks that make clothes look good on you? It's the glory of God on your life. You can have the most expensive outfit on and have an ugly self. The whole thing will be messed up. Hallelujah. And somebody who's just bubbly and happy with life, you know, coming around with their, you know, holy jeans. I don't know why people pay so much money for, I can cut all that stuff myself for cheap. Go to the dogs. No. But glory causes things to look good on you. Glory causes your vehicle to look right on you. Glory. Don't neglect that. God has given you glory on your life. Enjoy life. Amen? What is the last statement I just made? You didn't get it? What did I say? Enjoy life. You got it. I didn't forget. Enjoy your life. Amen? God wants you to enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Stop being miserable. Just enjoy your life already. There are so many people out there that are miserable. Don't join that gang. Just, how does that song go? Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, that's what you need to do. How many people are going to make the commitment to just be happy? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say just always. He says, all the way. All way. Rejoice. Good comes, rejoice. Because you know, God causes all things to work together for your good. And every day uttereth speech, and they are uttering the speech of the glory of God on your life. So forget about all the other noises. Make your own noise. I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen? Hallelujah. Just say that. Just keep on saying it. And blessings will come your way. Oh, why is he spending all his money buying all those nice stuff? Not a problem. I'm going to look good. Hallelujah. Why do I need to live in a crappy house? I want a nice house. Praise God. Why does my car have to be a rust basket? Like Flintstone. Oh no, I want to be blessed and highly favored in my going out and in my coming in. These are just things. My focus is on the Lord. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we say yes and amen to your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, the whole earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And Father, we want to tap into all of that goodness. Your word says, oh God, that all that the Father has is thine, and what is thine is the Father's, and that you have given it to us. We say, thank you, Father, we receive it. Blessings pursuing after us and overtaking us. Lord, oh God, your goodness is so amazing that there's nothing the enemy can do to stop the blessing in our lives. Oh, we celebrate your goodness, and we thank you for the privilege of sonship. We thank you, Lord, that the lost glory is reinstated, just like the prodigal that came home, cloaked with the best robe, with a ring of credit put in his finger, his shoes amazing, the fatted calf killed, and a party happening just because of him. Let every day be a day of partying and celebration because of us, not only in heaven, but in the earth. Thank you, Father, you've prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us testify in our giving of his goodness. Amen. Recognizing the very fact that his promise is that as we honor him, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon us. May the blessings of God be bestowed richly upon you every day of your life. Have a reason to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is for you, and if God is for you, no one and nothing can be against you. Praise the Lord. So let us honor God with our giving, and look forward to being with you again this Wednesday for our Bible study. June is going to be the last month for Bible studies. Bible studies after this June will pick up again in the fall. But prayer meeting doesn't stop every Friday. Amen? All right? So we have a few more weeks to go in June for the Bible studies, and then but prayer meeting, as I said, will continue. July the 27th, I believe, is the date. Is that right? July the 27th, we're going to have a block party. We're going to bring our community together and just celebrate the goodness of God and be a blessing to the people. Amen? And I want to remind you that we are still engaged in doing missions, and prayerfully give towards missions. This, in the next few months, we are going to be doing some things in Africa, in Europe, crusades, conferences, and of course, God wants to use our lives. So let's do it. You know, I was just reading an article the other day, 20-something thousand people saved in one service, one crusade, 20-something thousand people. And I preached maybe for 30 minutes, if that. What a harvest. Thousands of people getting healed. What a harvest. Lives have been changed in Islamic nations, in nations, Hindus, and whatever all else. But the Lord God Almighty will do the same thing here also. Amen? Because we are going to remind ourselves of who we are. This land belongs to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's partner together to see lives changed. Praise God. Amen. Have we honored God with our giving? Arise one more time, and I'll pray a prayer of blessing, and then we'll release those that are on YouTube and Facebook, and then we'll just greet those that are on Zoom here, and new faces that I see here this evening. I want to say hello and hug your necks also. Let's make a funnel. Father, pour yourself into us. The glory that our Lord Jesus Christ had before he came to the earth, that is now reinstated. May that glory be manifested in us, for we have you, Father. We have you, Lord Jesus, and we have you, Holy Spirit, three in one, living inside of us. So we say today, be God, be God, be God. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll come to our guests that are here in just a quick moment. But bye to those on YouTube and Facebook. And Sister Jeanette Ellis, thank you for participating. Brother John Bisson, thank you for participating this evening. We celebrate.